Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great day so far. It's Tuesday, 3 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York, and I'm very excited to have on the show today Mr. James Morgan, attorney, based out of North Carolina, and we should be bringing him on momentarily, hopefully. And again, for everyone that's joining us today, I hope that you're having a good week, and we are going to have a great weekend. I know up here the weather is kind of crappy, to say the least. We got some rain coming through and lingering until about the end of the week, it looks like. But hey, you never know. Maybe just in time for the weekend we'll be okay and good to go. So again, like I said, joining us on today's program will be James Morgan. And so let's just see if we can get him on the line quick here. And it looks like we may have him on the line with us right now. Good afternoon, Jim. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can. Good to hear your voice.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on to the program today. And just getting right into it, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I have already informed everybody, obviously, that you're an attorney with Morgan and Herring. And so please, share with us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've had a very blessed life. I've lived in High Point, North Carolina, most of my life, except when I was away at school. And I'm going into finishing up my 37th year as being an attorney.
Wow. Now, as far as the location of High Point, where exactly is that in North Carolina?
High Point, North Carolina is in Piedmont, North Carolina, which is the middle of the state. There are three major cities in the Piedmont Triad: Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and High Point.
Very nice. Very nice. So now, did you attend college in the area as well?
I did. I went to the University of North Carolina on a football scholarship, was injured, dropped out of school for a year, and then finished. Ann and I were married very young and finished at Guilford College. And then I went to law school at Cumberland School of Law, Samford, S-A-M-F-O-R-D University in Birmingham, Alabama.
Very nice. And how did you find the transition between going from Alabama back, to High Point? Was it pretty simple, pretty easy?
Yeah, it was. I found that Cumberland was an excellent law school, and I actually, when I took a bar review course, felt that I had a very good education at Guilford and Cumberland. So I was very pleased, and I was glad to be back in my hometown, which I love very much.
Absolutely. So why law? What kind of influenced you to decide to pursue a career in law?
My dad was a lawyer, and he was first generation graduating from college and then went to law school. And he had encouraged me all my life. Finally, one day I went in and I said, "Dad, are you sure that I can be a lawyer?" And he said, "Son, you will be a great lawyer. You need to do that." And that's probably one of the few mistakes he made, but that changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And now, when you were a kid, what was it about law that really drew you towards it? I mean, aside from obviously your father being an attorney, was there anything about what you saw on a daily basis with your dad, as a lawyer?
Well, my dad, what I saw was that even though there were difficult days, was that most days when my dad would come home around the dinner table, we would talk about, he may not mention names, but he would talk about how he had helped people and
sure.
how he had been able to change their lives. And, the more I heard, the more I wanted to do it. I wasn't sure academically or otherwise whether I could do it. But again, thanks to his encouragement, I did, and I've been very lucky.
Absolutely. And as far as education goes now, when you became a lawyer, have things changed as far as how much schooling you needed and what you needed to do to actually obtain your degree?
Things have changed. When my dad went to and the funny thing is they're changing back a little, maybe the other way. When my dad went to Carolina Law, he could start taking law courses in his senior year. Mm-hmm. When I went, you had to have a college degree before you could go into law school. And now I understand that they're moving back to the old system to maybe, and I'm not absolutely sure, maybe you can start taking law courses your senior year in college or university.
Wow. So, I mean, you know, obviously I know that part of the challenge of becoming a lawyer is all the intensive courses that you have to take and the amount of time. I mean, it seems that, you know, if you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a doctor, you really do have to motivate yourself and designate a pretty extensive amount of time for a degree, right?
Well, what you have to do, as I said, when I finished, I had to finish law, undergraduate, and then I had to go to law school. And mm-hmm. normally that takes, 4 years for an undergraduate and then 3 years law school. I went to summer school and finished actually in 2.5 years, but had the equivalent of 3 years of courses.
So you've got
12 years to get out of high school. You got 4 college, and so you got 7. So you're in school 19 years before you get out.
Right. That's certainly a commitment, but it sounds like obviously you've made the right choice for yourself, and you know I think it's something that if you're really passionate about it and you see the goals and you can get through it all, it's a good thing.
It is,
yeah.
And I guess the big thing is, like my dad, you know, when you go home every day, even though you can get knocked off your horse as a lawyer, but when you go home every day, that there's always people that you've helped, and sometimes it's saying you don't have a problem, but being able to help folks is very satisfying to me.
Sure. Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little about your professional career then, how you got to where you are now?
Well, when I got out of law school, Ann and I loved Birmingham, and we thought about Birmingham, and my dad encouraged me to come back and wanted me to be a member of the firm. So we packed up and headed back, and in the meantime, the law firm decided that it wasn't a good idea to have siblings in the firm. So what I did, I went out on my own for a couple of years, shared offices with another lawyer. And then a couple years later, one Friday afternoon, I looked up, and there were all my dad's partners, and said, yes, we would like to have you. But the good thing about that was that, you know, and another thing I've learned is that sometimes you think things are bad, but they really turned out good. So I became my own person. I became a trial lawyer. And so when I came into the firm a couple years later, I was my own person, and had learned by making mistakes, getting knocked down, and so forth. But it turned out to be a blessing. And then my dad unfortunately died at a very young age, 63 and 2 months, in 1982. And so I've been the manager of the firm since that time.
Now, how did becoming the manager of the firm really affect your day to day outlook? I mean, obviously you're taking on a lot more responsibility, right?
You take on a lot more, and you have a lot more responsibility for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I've learned from it, and it's helped me professionally and as a person to be a better person, help me to manage time and to it's helped me, and frankly,
sure,
I enjoy it.
So how many people are on staff with the firm right now?
Well, we have I got a count here. I didn't know that question was coming. Let me think. We have 9 other lawyers that are with us.
Okay.
And then we have 1, 2, 3. We have 6 staff people that help
mm-hmm.
us.
Wow. Okay.
Paralegal.
So I mean, it's obviously a fairly big enough operation then.
Yes, it is, and we're not a huge firm. You know, it's 10 lawyers, but for our area, you know, there are some firms in our area that have 20, 30, 40, some of them 100 lawyers.
Right.
But we're bigger than the average size firm, I would say, in North Carolina.
Now, as far as the people that you service, is it just specific to your general area, or do you have people kind of come in throughout the state?
Well, we are we're located in kind of an unusual position in that we're in the south corner of Guilford County, and we're surrounded by several counties: Forsyth, Davison, Randolph. So we service a big area due to our location.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the years, I have moved more into doing estate work, wills and trust, and estate administration, and I therefore get referrals from all over the state and all over the country for people that need help with estate work.
Huh. Now, do you have any particular? I mean, I'm on your website, obviously, and for everyone that's listening, if they'd like to check it out, go to morganherring.com. You know, obviously, it shows you guys practice a wide variety of different law. How did you guys come about that? I mean, you know, with your father in place, you know, did he kind of, you know, solidify the areas that he knew best? I mean, how does that work?
Well, I think what we've done is over the years, when we've had a lawyer retire, we've tried to replace someone that can take over that area of practice. For example, mm-hmm. we had a lawyer that was doing bankruptcy. She had a child a short time ago and decided that she needed to step back a while, and so we've hired somebody to do bankruptcy. When we lose a lawyer, we go out and look for a particular area that they will fit in and can help us in the firm.
Interesting. And is it a simple transition when you have to do that? I mean, obviously it's law and it's not for everybody, and you know, as many people are in law school, I'm sure, you know, I think there was that statistic that there was some ridiculous number about the people that were actually in law school compared to the lawyers. I mean, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, you know. There's a lot that goes into
it. It is not.
It
is not.
Right.
And frankly, my choice when we hire mm-hmm. is to try to find somebody with experience, although we've had some good experience with people right out of law school. But many times in a particular field, it's good to have somebody that has handled that particular area of the law and has some expertise in it. That helps us.
Sure, absolutely. So on the topic then of what you kind of look for in a prospective member of the team, what is it about someone when you meet them, or, you know, about their resume? I mean, what is it that stands out to you?
Well, the first thing I look for is somebody that really and truly wants to help others.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the doors open and making money, we have to do enough of that. And money, you know, can or cannot be important, but I don't want that the only emphasis. I want them
right.
to care about their clients and really want to make a difference in somebody else's life by helping them.
I think that's it's a pretty good way to put it, sure. Yeah, but how often do you find that, you know, can anybody pull one over on you during an interview? That I'm curious to know about that. I mean, you seem to really, you know exactly what you want, and, you know, I would assume that as a lawyer, you really have to know how to read people, so it must be hard for people to try to fool, you know, someone like yourself, right?
Well, I'm not perfect, and you know, people change. Some people get better, and some people do not do as well. So I've made some mistakes, but overall, I've been very lucky. We've had good people who care about others. So Overall, I've been very pleased. Now, lately, we've had some sickness with some lawyers, and that has been very stressful. But hopefully, they're going to come back and be okay.
Great, sure. And for everybody just joining us now, I'm with Jim Morgan of Morgan Herring, based out of High Point, North Carolina. And Jim, moving along with today's show, just curious to know, as far as what you have practiced in the past, was there anything that stood out to you as a favorite type of case to handle?
Well, when I started out, I was doing mostly criminal law, and I still do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also done a lot of civil law and basically was a trial attorney. But the longer I'm doing it, as I mentioned earlier, I'm doing more and more estate work now. My clients are older, and so I'm doing more and more of that type of work instead of, even though I still try cases.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the manager of the firm, does that mean that you necessarily do take less cases on and you kind of pass them off to everyone else?
I don't take less, but I have learned over the years that you can't do it on your own. So
right.
I have to rely on people that help me, or I tell a client, I want you to go meet one of my partners, and he or she has a better expertise in this field. And if you're comfortable mm-hmm. with them, I want you to work with them. And then, of course, if you need me, I'm there to help.
So a good support system is basically, you know, what you do when it's not you. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Man, and no, again, you can't do it on your own.
I think that's probably a lesson that a lot of people learn after the fact, though, right?
That is correct. And I learned very quick that there's a lot of people out there a lot smarter than I. And, I couldn't do it without my personnel here, paralegals and with other lawyers. Everybody needs mm-hmm. help.
Sure. Now, I'm curious, as far as when you're working with someone and they hire you guys, how important is open communication and truth and trust and honesty between the lawyer and the plaintiff or whatever it is at that time?
I think it's crucial. One of my rules is to try to return every call every day. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I've found that a client just wants to hear your voice and to be assured that everything's moving in the right direction or that they're being
right.
looked after.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if somebody asks me, I advise people all the time that who they want to deal with are people they trust, have confidence in. And, for example, I tell everybody they need a financial advisor.
Right.
When I'm doing estate planning or whatever, you need to go find somebody that you trust and that will tell you what's going on. And sometimes it may be something you don't want to hear,
mm-hmm.
but somebody that you can rely on and keep you informed.
And again, I think that kind of falls into the, you know, working with other people, trusting other people, and knowing that you really can't possibly do and know everything on your own. I mean, everybody. There's always somebody
no.
else out there that can offer something.
Right, and sometimes you've got to just say, you know, I don't know the answer to that. And sometimes
right.
I may say, you need to go see somebody else, or you need to talk to your accountant, or you need to do something that I don't know. And sometimes I say, I've just got to research that. You know, I thought I'd heard everything in 47
mm-hmm.
years. But I really hadn't. So I need
right.
to spend some time and find out about that.
Well, you know, I'm sure people appreciate the honesty on your end, too, to admit something like that, too.
Right.
Now, let's say you're looking for an attorney. What are the qualities of a good lawyer?
Well, of course, I want them to have good skills, legal
mm-hmm.
skills. But I've said this probably too many times to you. I want them to want the desire to help folks,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To help them with problems and difficulties they may be facing at the time, or to do planning like estate planning and doing wills, trusts, powers of attorney where they don't have problems in the future. So I want them to have the attitude that we are a service organization, and mm-hmm. we're here to serve others.
Sure, absolutely. But do you see when people come to you guys directly, you know, I'm assuming that a lot of people probably don't have an attorney until they actually need one, right?
That is correct.
So with that in mind, what is it that the general public should know about finding a good attorney? I mean, aside from hiring somebody, you know, on your end, I mean, what are the qualities of an actual attorney that the general public should be aware of, should look out for? I mean, are there any triggers or, you know, signs that would tell people, hey, maybe this guy's not for this job, or you know, maybe this guy's great for the job because of this, that, or the other?
Well, times have changed so much. There's ways you can check out lawyers. You can go online and you can see their webpage and see what others are. The best example I have on that is that I've always said, usually every client that's a new one, I say, well, why did you call me? And 99 and 44, 100% would say, well, somebody recommended you.
Right.
And I kept saying that, and then somebody said, well, did you also ask them if they Googled you and checked you out before they came? And I started asking that. And sure enough, a large percentage of people not only listen to somebody that's referring, but they check you out before they come to see you.
Absolutely. I mean, I would think that's probably like everything else at this point. I mean, it's like shopping for a car. You have to really do your research and make sure you know where you're going.
Right, right. And then the other thing I tell people, kind of like your financial advisor, your accountant, you need to be comfortable with that person. When you
right.
sit down and talk to them, are you comfortable with them? If you're not, then you need to move on and find somebody else. And if a client's not comfortable with me and what I'm telling them, I would prefer them go and get a second opinion. That doesn't offend me at all.
No, I mean, that makes sense, you know. I mean, and again, it's something I think that shows a bit of who you are and how devoted you are actually to helping people, as you've mentioned previously. Now, do you think that you got that trait to want to genuinely help people from, you know, seeing your dad in, you know, in his career and in his life, doing that on a day-to-day basis?
I think, yes, that was a large part. And the other thing that he was very insistent upon with me is that I must be involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
He was very insistent. He said, number one, you need to live in the community and you need to be involved in the community. And I was also lucky. I knew my great-grandparents and my grandparents, and they were a huge influence on me because they had the same attitude. They wanted to be
mm-hmm.
helpful to others.
That's great. That's really great. So it's not just all work, you know. It sounds like you do have a good balance of work and personal life and doing other things to pursue.
Well, I think it's very important that I've learned. What I used to be in the legislature, and when I was there, I had to come in and work most weekends. And then after my dad died, I didn't run again, so I caught myself having a Saturday and Sunday pile, and I determined that it was better that if I got away for a few days and kind of cleared my mind and did other projects, that I was a better lawyer and a better person.
Mm-hmm. So what other organizations are you affiliated with currently?
Well, I chair a committee called Welcome High Point, which encourages people to move to High Point. I have a committee of business people that is called High Point First.
Mm-hmm.
We meet the first Tuesday. I'm chairman of the Preservation Society. Right now, and over the years, I have chaired probably 75 plus different charitable organizations. So I've been very fortunate in that respect.
And what about your current list of awards and recognitions? I mean, I saw some things on your website, I believe. I was just wondering if you had any particular awards or anything like that you were most proud of.
Every one of them have been awesome to be recognized. I guess started off with being the Young Man of the Year given by the JCs, and then was the only person named to be one of the five outstanding young men in North Carolina twice. And it just everybody has always been so nice and kind to me that it's been a wonderful life.
That's great. That's tremendous. You know, that's really all you can ask for when you devote your time, like you said, to something that you believe in so vigorously that, you know, you feel that the payback is there, and at least you were able to enjoy everything that you've done so far, and that's great.
Right.
So,
you don't do it to get awards, but
right.
You know, it's nice when it's very, very nice when people recognize you and are nice to you.
Absolutely. So, Jim, with just over 3.5 minutes left in the show, I'm curious, how do you feel that your experience and skills progressed over the years?
Well, I think I was very blessed with the organizations, president of the High Point JCs, the North Carolina JCs, several state organizations in the legislature. And I think what I learned was to listen carefully to different folks and to try to come to a conclusion which is fair to everybody. One of the things I love to do is in a controversy is get all sides around the table. I'm talking about reasonable people that want to come up with a solution, and then mm-hmm. let us decide about how we're going to go forward and address a particular issue.
Interesting. Now, do you see that a lot of people, do you find that people get kind of pigeonholed in their career, even as an attorney? I mean, do you see that people kind of get stuck in a certain way, and that's their way, and they just go straight forward with it?
Well, unfortunately, I see that happen in Congress and legislative and with people. And that's one of the things that I've been able to do is say, wait just a minute, let's sit down and let's mm-hmm. everybody put their ideas on the table and see if we can't come to some consensus here and all be friends.
Absolutely. And, Jim, curious again, other people that come up to you and say, "Hey, you know, how can I pursue a career path in law? What advice do you have for people?"
Well, I encourage them to do it if you want to be a to help others. It's a great profession mm-hmm. to be in, and to study hard, and to go to law school, and then work real real hard and serve others.
Absolutely. In a couple sentences, what are some of the favorite moments of your personal career that you can remember?
Being able to graduate from law school and being able to be past the bar and be a lawyer and to be so, so blessed with family and live in such a great community as High Point, North Carolina.
Very nice. It sounds like you're really genuinely proud of that area, too. That's
I love it.
I love when people are, you know, very proud of where they live and where they're from. I mean, you know, for me, myself, too, you know, I love the area that I live in up here in New York, and it's something that I don't know if I could ever separate myself from. And Jim, we're running out of time for today. I do want to thank you for coming on to the show. Real quick, do you have anything to say for the future that you hope for?
Well, I just hope that we as a state, nation, and country can continue to work together and try to solve our issues going forward. I live in a great city, a great state, and a great nation, and I'm proud of where we are and where we're going.
Well, thank you, Jim, for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it. And, you know, we hope to hear from you soon and hope that we wish you nothing but the best for the future.
Thank you, and thanks for being so kind to me.
All right, well, take care, Jim. And for everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.